Welcome everyone to Armchair Experts. We are the team from Longreach offering unqualified opinions, interesting takes and passionate views on all things sport. Make sure you get out there and follow us on Twitter. Twitter is absolutely going off. We're up to 47 followers and we want to get to 50 by New Year's. So that is at ArmchairEX. And also our fantastic new Facebook site. We've added some content to there. You know, just follow us on Facebook, leave a comment, ask a question. Just if you want to get in touch, we're pretty easy to get in touch with and we will reply because we don't really have many other better things to do. So Facebook's the place to go and stay tuned. We've got some big things coming up. Even today, we've got some big things coming up. But yeah, definitely some big things in the pipeline. As always, I'm joined by my team. Harry, how goes it, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Scott.
And Harry, you've got a haircut.
Sure do.
In this cold weather, are you finding the short hair is really just getting you a bit colder during the daytimes?
Funny story, actually. The first morning I woke up, my mum came and woke me up and she's like, oh, come on, Harry, you got to get up. Oh, is your head cold? And like, it wasn't up until that point, but as soon as she said that, I realized my head really was cold. So, yeah.
That's a funny story, Harry.
Does your mum usually wake you up in the mornings, Harry?
No, I got an alarm, mate.
Oh, okay.
One of the worst stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
the ratings just dive.
Jack, save us, mate. How are you going, mate?
Mate, I'm living the dream.
Yep,
yeah,
as always.
Absolutely. You know it.
And Matt, back from your victorious
trip to Rocky. Team didn't win, but I had a fair day.
Yeah, but team doesn't matter to you, does it? So
absolutely
not. You'd be happy with your performance?
It's all about me.
So I want to get straight into something. Now, something happened this week that I just wanted to talk about. I want to get some opinion on, and I'm going to mention the specifics. So it's a bit of a social etiquette question. Harry and I are keen basketball followers. We've been keeping up to date with the NBA. The NBA finals are on at the moment. I haven't seen today's score, so I have been on a social media blackout. So please don't text or anything like that during today's podcast. Now, I asked Harry over to watch it, you know, because it's nice to watch sports with your friends. And I thought, you know, we had another friend, Amy had one of her friends over, so we thought, you know, we'll invite Harry for dinner. So I said to Harry, would you like to come for dinner, you know, watch the basketball, have dinner, polite thing to do. I got a text back, not a yes, not a no, what's on the menu, ha ha. And I believe the ha ha was as in, this is sounding like a joke, but I don't think you were joking, Harry. So here is my social etiquette question. Are you allowed to ask what's for dinner when you've been invited to someone's house for tea?
I just want to say I'm a pretty fussy eater and I'm not coming over if there's veggies on the menu.
Social etiquette question. Jack and Matt, I'm really aiming at you here. What is the rules on asking what's for dinner when you've been invited over for a meal?
Look, mate, I think that actually depends on if you've been somewhere for a meal and it was shocking. If you went somewhere to a mate's house and, you know, none of your dietary requirements were taken into account, you can probably ask the question. Or if you have dietary needs, if you're a fussy eater like Harry, you can sort of suck it up, I guess.
Matt, I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm fuming here. That's absolutely disgraceful, Harry. Do you have any allergies?
Peanuts. Cashews.
Okay,
pistachios.
So I mean, if there was a satay or something along those lines,
I might
try
a satay.
Well, how am I supposed to know if I don't ask?
That is absolutely disgraceful. It's rude. I can't believe it, Parker. Never again.
As a good friend of Harry's, I would never put him in the position to eat something that may cause an allergic reaction. Now, I've been in a position before where I've gone to someone's house and I've wanted to ask the question. Now, I'm quite fussy. I don't enjoy the animals from the sea as they were, fish, octopus,
ethnic foods.
I like ethnic foods.
Whoa.
You know, I don't like sea creatures. So I've often been tempted, you know, should I ask, are we having seafood? But I've never done it. So just a simple yes or no, Jack, would you do it?
No, mate, they call me the trash can.
Yes
for
or no?
No, I eat anything in front of me, mate. No worries.
I'm not fussy. I go to town on everything.
Harry, I'd hate to throw you under the bus. Is it something you do regularly or is this just a one-off for me?
No, I've just never had... Yeah, I don't get invited.
Can I?
And you won't be invited again. Yeah.
Can I go a little bit further?
Oh, sure.
Has Amy made something that you find not enjoyable?
I've never.
Be honest, mate.
I've never had Scott or Amy's cooking, so I wanted to be sure. The first time I had it, it was something that was going to be nice.
Non-offensive is the word you're looking
offensive.
For.
How was it, Harry?
And it was bloody awesome.
Okay, thank you. And I'll pass the feedback on. I just wanted to ask, because it was just interesting. Because
you
like,
weren't happy, though. You were not happy. You were furious on Monday when I spoke to you.
It happened Tuesday, so you can tell Matt's lying. And we should say this. We are recording this on Thursday, so there's been a bit of time for me to lose my sleep.
Cool,
I was just interested. So, Harry, you will be welcome back. Obviously, you always are. And one night, we'd love you to cook us dinner and whatever you want, mate.
What would you cook?
Eggs on toast.
Love it.
Beans on toast.
Peanut butter.
Great option. So, we did start something last week. Peanut butter. Great option. And I want to keep it going. And the segment was Let's Be Honest. Now, we do talk about that we offer unqualified opinions, but we do offer passionate views. So I'm going to give the boys a bit of a statement around an area of sport or in general in about the arena in which we live. And I want to get your honest opinion. So, Jack, I'm going to start with you. Now, Ben Kay, who is a second row, I believe he's from England, was a once British Lions second row player, has come out and called the All Blacks, which is the team that you love, the team that you support. He said the All Blacks have the most arrogant fans in the world. Can you comment?
I think that depends on where you go. If you go to Eden Park or something like that in Auckland, a place where the All Blacks, you know, they don't lose. I think, you know, maybe the fans are a bit arrogant. I think not to, to sort of draw a comparison, I remember the Queenslanders winning 8 years in a row, and I got to tell you, being a Blues supporter, some of those Queensland fans are pretty smug. So I think it sort of depends on where you are and your perception. But I think some fans may sort of be a bit prouder than others. But yeah, what can you do?
In my opinion, I found Queensland, the fact that we won 8 in a row. I'm gonna say we as, you know, I was part of the team. I wasn't. But I didn't find Queensland were too arrogant. Maybe you have to be outside of the yard. Matt, do you think success breeds arrogance? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with what Jack has said. You know, it all depends on where you are. And it's never nice to be on the losing side. And, you know, if a team's winning over and over again, they sort of they have that aura and that arrogance about the way they go about their business. So, you know, when I was flying back in my day playing Aussie Rules football, I was deemed quite arrogant.
And I couldn't pick you as someone who's arrogant, Matt. All right, so let's move on to Harry. So, Harry, here's my question for you. Obviously, State of Origin, we're right in the middle of the series. So, you know, game two is going to be, I think the side's selected either this week or in the next couple of days. Queensland must pick Billy Slater at fullback.
I think that's a fair comment. And I think I supported taking Darius Boyd at fullback for the first game. But I think they've got to make a change. And I think Billy has been in very good form. So I think him in the side should be good.
Yeah, and I actually agree. I mean, I was a big supporter of Darius Boyd being the fullback for game one. I think Billy Slater's got to be in there. I think he went back into club games. He absolutely killed it for Melbourne. They were playing Newcastle, so I don't know if that's the best barometer to measure his performance, but I think he just brings a bit of confidence, which I think Queensland are lacking a little bit. So any other changes you think they might make, Harry?
Paul Green said Cohen Hess isn't ready for Origin, but the way he's playing, he's certainly pushing a strong case.
Yeah, I think Cohen Hess will be there. I also think Jared Wallace and the Titans should be an absolute certainty. So, Matt, on to you. On Sunday night, I was glued to the Sunday night television series surrounding Ben Cousins, the interview with his former flame, the mother of his children. One thing I took away from it, yes, it was a sad story, and yes, it's a, you know, a waste of talent, but to me, the AFL didn't seem to acknowledge, recognise, have plans in place for Ben Cousins. I know he eventually got banned, was reinstated, but the drug problem was never dealt with. So my statement to you is the AFL failed Ben Cousins.
No, I disagree. I disagree with that. I think Ben Cousins is a different case. I think all sports and I think the young generation everywhere have got this problem with drugs. I think Ben Cousins was a different case, that he was just a flat-out addict. I think it's a sad case, but I don't think the AFL has any blood on their hands in this particular case.
And talking to you on Monday, like I said, we are recording this Thursday. So Monday we had a conversation about the Ben Cousins documentary. You watched it as well. You were a massive fan of Ben Cousins. It actually hit you quite hardly. You know, you were a bit upset. You were a bit emotional about that. Can you just go, Ben Cousins, you're a fan of his?
Oh, I loved him. I absolutely loved him, just the way he went about his footy. I loved his swagger. I love that. You talk about arrogance. Ben Cousins had arrogance in abundance. When I was probably a kid, when I was watching him play as well, and just to see the fall now, where we've got a bloke who's basically, well, he's in jail, and before that was living under a bridge. It's just a real tragic story, Parco. I actually genuinely pray and hope that he can find his way out of it, but I honestly don't think he will. You know, this addiction, I don't think a lot of us, you know, blokes like you and I, Parker, have really no understanding of the grip of addiction that he's under. Yeah, and I think everyone these days wants to try and find blame somewhere. I don't think any organisation or club can really take any blame here. I just think it's a sad, isolated situation.
Isolated. Was that a purposeful pun there?
It wasn't, actually. It wasn't.
No, but, and I completely agree.
In his case, I mean, drugs are a big problem, but I mean, he's just, completely lost the plot.
And it is sad. And I think, you know, watching that documentary and you know, it started with his early career. And I think he was on television ads at the age of 10 and it was just this prodigy and had all the talent in the world. And unfortunately, there was so much stuff happening off the field.
You have no sympathy though, do you? You were quite cutting on Monday when you spoke to me. You were saying that, you know, he earns this amount of money. He's a superstar. You and I would dream of being at his level. So you basically told me that, you know, too bad. Is that, does that was your comment?
I mean, I get a bit frustrated when I see, you know, I would have done anything to become a professional athlete and to see someone who...
Obviously not train.
Oh, drive by.
Yeah, thank you. Can we just switch the microphone off? No, but to be honest, it does frustrate when you see these superstar athletes get to live their dreams, do what they love, get paid a lot of money to do it, and then blow, and that's not a pun, no pun intended, blow their careers away by getting into drugs and things of that nature. So I do get frustrated. That doesn't mean I wish... you know, bad things on Ben Cousins. Yeah. And I do hope that he gets the help that he obviously needs. But I just think it is frustrating when athletes, and obviously they're in different realms to what, under different pressures than you and I are under with our sporting career. No one ever offered me anything except for a seat on the bench when I wasn't playing well. So yeah, it's completely different. And maybe you open yourself up to these things. That's why they get involved. Maybe the youth, you know, the fact that he did play from such a young age, maybe that's, you know, it's hard to turn people down that are a bit older than you and influencing you that way. So mate, I wasn't as upset about it as you. I was probably more angry about the waste of talent. And I just don't like seeing young athletes go down the road. And I think there's got to be more done to educate.
I think there is now, though.
To manage. I think the situation now, I think Ben Cousins, the AFL and NRL and all those professional organisations probably has learned from that.
Agreed.
So, Jack, we did mention the British Irish Lions before, obviously, as our keen rugby expert.
Yep.
This is the worst Lions tour that's toured the Southern Hemisphere in history.
In terms of the team?
They almost lost to the Barbarians, which to me is a makeshift side put together to face the squad.
Yeah.
They only just won, I think, scoring the winning points in the second half towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
Is this a beatable side, not like the British-Irish Lions of old?
Look, I think the British-Irish Lions this time around definitely are not the same sort of team that we saw visiting Australia even, you know, 4 years ago. And I definitely think that it is a beatable team. I mean, they lost to the Blues, who are at the bottom of the New Zealand Conference. The Blues gave them an absolute shellacking. So, yeah, I think come time for them to play the All Blacks in July, I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see. Oh, sorry, end of June. End of June they play the All Blacks. I think they're going to probably get a bit of a casing, to be honest.
Tell you what, I'd love to see our mate of the show, Isaac Rodder, run through a few of them. Arrogant Poms. Sorry, got a bit off track there. Harry, the Broncos are in turmoil, two straight losses. And today, exclusive on the podcast, Wayne Bennett has just ruled out Ben Hunt. Cody Nicarima will start at halfback.
Yeah, I'd like to get your thoughts on this after about Ben Hunt being dropped. But I think Cody Nicarima will definitely do a good job in the set of Ben Hunt. So I don't think dropping him is such a bad thing because he's just come back from injury and hasn't been playing overly great. Benji Marshall on the bench, coming off the bench in a role that Cody Nicarima has been doing, should do a good job just to add a bit of spark at the back end of the halves. I don't think they're in turmoil. It's state of origin period. They're losing a lot of players every 3 weeks. So, and this happens every year. They should bounce back in probably a month or so. So I don't think it's something too much to worry about.
And we don't like to give ourselves pats on the back, but I remember on our very first podcast, Harry, which was you and I, these other two weren't there. And we did talk about, you know, when the Broncos signed Benji Marshall, would he be a prominent figure in the side? And we said, no way they're going to cut Ben Hunt early.
Mm.
Obviously, Ben Hunt has signed this contract with the Dragons. I don't mind the move. The Broncos are playing particularly well leading up to Ben Hunt's return with Cody Nicarima at halfback. I think Ben Hunt's too talented to be playing Intra Super Cup. Not that those players aren't talented, but I think Ben Hunt probably should be there somewhere. However, I've been loving watching Benji Marshall play. So I think it'll be interesting to see. Wayne Bennett is the master of mind games. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out and what happens from there. So
yeah, and I'm really glad Benji's playing in the first grade again. He's just great to watch.
And if you go to our Facebook page, there's actually a highlight. One of the best passes I've seen from a halfback this year. That's what Cooper Cronk said, but I'm just going to repeat it. And it was an amazing play. So, Matt, back to you. Patrick Dangerfield will win the AFL's Brownlow medal. He's the favourite currently. Your thoughts?
I don't think he will. I think he's a champion. He'll be right there. There's about eight players that be in contention. I'm with Dusty Martin. from Richmond. Dustin Martin with the old neck tattoo, which I think Harry told me he's thinking about maybe going for with, you know, maybe the birdcage on it somewhere.
The armchair expert symbol.
Yeah, the armchair expert symbol. No, look, mate, I'm with Dusty Martin. Dangerfield finished top five, but won't win.
Okay, you heard it here first. And Harry, I'm going to finish with you. You and Kurt Mann are friends.
Oh, dear.
Where's this going?
Would he know your name?
That's just that's the comment. That's just what I've got mailed in, and that's what I've been asked to ask you. So can you comment, elaborate?
Yes.
Oh, good stuff. Well, that is our Let's Be Honest for the week.
Don't ask him, though.
Just before we finish off the Let's Be Honest, I've just got one that I want to throw the way of Matt. And my question is, the behind is irrelevant in today's game of AFL. I looked up some stats. Less than 4% of professional games are won with behinds as the contributing factor. So is it an irrelevant way of keeping points and just to make you feel good when you miss?
Classic sort of long reach behaviour. I don't sort of see where you're coming from here. So what are you saying, that we'd only have two big goals? Is that correct?
Well, I'm saying, you know, like...
do you need the post?
Do you need the one-pointer when it's insignificant in the outcome? You know,
but is it insignificant?
In 96% of professional games, it doesn't make any difference. And my thing is, yes, back in the day, it used to, back in the early 80s, when it wasn't professional athletes who trained this day in, day out, you know, it used to make up something like 25% of wins were decided by behinds. And now when it's getting down to that, you know, 3%, 3 and a bit percent, you know, is it worth having it anymore?
He's bombing you with statistics, mate. Can you fight back? What's your thoughts?
It is the game. I'm floored by this. I'd like to check these stats as well. I just think
the tan has gone away from your face. Well, you're actually pale.
I don't know how to respond to it. To take away the posts, the behind posts. I got nothing to add. It's just a ridiculous comment.
The whole point of, you know, score, like the whole point of any game is to score points,
and you get a point for trying.
Yeah, but I mean, that's my question. Do you need the point for trying? It doesn't affect the game in any way.
What if the scores were tied and you kicked it and you missed the goal? Wouldn't you want to have the behind post there just to get the game broken over? I'm with Matt.
I think what he's saying is the 1 point doesn't make any difference.
One point results in a game. Is that what you're talking about?
No,
games that are decided by 1 point.
I'm talking about games where the team who kicks the most goals doesn't win.
Oh, but so that's less than... But that's pretty obvious, sort of. Yeah. But surely the team that...
So the team who kicks the most goals wins in 97% of matches. So why do you have that?
It's because the goal's worth six.
Yeah, I understand. I get the math, mate. So you're agreeing with my point. So if the goal is worth six, why do you have the 1 point there when all it does is slows the game down? People give away behind, so how valuable can they be?
But I think Matt, you said something before. AFL is a game that has four posts. They've had four posts for 100. It's tradition. Yeah, it's what the game is.
Sure.
So you take the two posts away, like it just becomes like...
You get more accurate kickers, mate. That's what happens.
Or you get like a boring game of rugby union where all they do is just kick goals.
Look,
like, why not? Like, you know,
okay,
I think...
I'm not going to knock Jack here because I like lateral thinkers. I like people outside the box. Look, I'm going to need to take 3 months to work it out. And because I've never heard this. I'll take it and have a chat to a few people. Like, I've always thought that maybe they should make the goals bigger in soccer so they can get more scoring.
Mm.
But surely... AFL, we don't want to head down the path of rugby league and union, those two dying codes.
You know what?
Codes.
This is kind of... I think this could lead into a new segment. It could be improve a sport. And Jack's just given an idea to improve the sport of AFL.
Well, I mean, we're getting rid of the bounce, you know?
Which is a shame.
Which is a good thing. I think it's a great thing because it gets more people into that grassroots umpiring who are, you know, women and kids that want to do that.
But things like the behind posts, the four goal posts of Aussie rules, unique to our great game. The bouncing of the ball, unique to our great game. Big crowds, unique to our great game. You know, women actually being involved in it, you know, exclusive to our game. Not having tacky cheerleaders, unique to our game.
That's a
banners,
loss to you, yeah.
Once again, tick, 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 tick. Nah, keep it the same. We don't want to be like everyone else.
That's all right. Thanks for answering
my
question.
Jack, really good question. I liked it.
And it's good to see you've got a job where you can do so much research in your work time, Jack.
Good research, though. I had poor answer. I couldn't answer it.
Well done. So you've stumped Matt. So that's our Let's Be Honest for the week. And coming up in an absolute exclusive of the podcast, we've actually got Rosie, Matt's AFL coach from the weekend. He's going to come on and share his thoughts on Matt's performance from last Saturday.
Oh, I'm really excited here, everyone, because on the line we've got one of the great, not only footballers, but coaches in the Rockhampton region. He also happens to be the coach of my football club, the Brothers Ruse, and we've got him on the line today. And Michael, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Piggy. Good to hear from you, mate.
Now, mate, the whole reason you are here is because since I've moved out to Longreach, I've had a lot of people questioning my magnificent ability as an Aussie Rules footballer. A lot of people, like I've been pumping myself up, but unfortunately, mate, the Aussie Rules doesn't really spread much further than Emerald. So I've had to sort of pump myself up without sort of much backup. So that's why I've got you on here today. And I've got Scott, my partner in crime, who wants to ask a few questions. So, mate, I want the honesty to flow. Scott, all yours.
Yep.
Well, I just want some information about the man behind the myth. So, firstly, Rose, just to check your credentials, how long have you known Matt for?
I knew him sort of as soon as he moved to Rocky, probably 2014, I think that was.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a couple of years.
And just through football?
Yeah, just through football, yeah. Come down to the footy club and met him through the footy club.
Yeah, we're just trying to establish any bias here, mate, so that we can qualify the truth.
and so when you saw the Adonis rock up to the football, what was your first impression of Matt?
Oh, when he first rocked up at the footy club.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was sort of a bit like that kid you'd probably pick third last in the schoolyard. And but you pick him third last, but then he gets out there and he nearly dominates. So you sort of, he's one of those enigmas of a human that you can't believe it looking at him.
Yeah,
but then once he's out there, you can sort of, you still don't believe it, but it's just happening.
Was it true, and I've done a little bit of research, that he got picked because he had boots and the other three fellas didn't?
Well, it helps if you rock up with boots. Yeah. If you're looking for them around the change rooms, like a few blokes do, that makes it a bit hard to get a spot. But, yeah, Piggy always made sure he had the boots, so he had that edge to get into the team.
And this nickname of Piggy is something that we have only just come across. Is there any, and Matt, you could out him if you wanted to. Does that originate anywhere? Is it anything to do with a buffet or?
I thought it had something to do with one old coach, old Jethro, who used to call you that.
Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with looks. And actually, honestly, I think it's about a few girls I dated back in Cairns, back in the glory days.
It
just stuck though.
Yeah, absolutely.
At your peak form in the single days.
Correct.
That's hilarious. Oh, I think this is great, mate. So, with the weekend, Matt was obviously pretty pumped to get back out there, and I heard about it. You know, even when I wasn't really keen to listen. How was the mood in the squad when you found out that the great Matt Jones would be coming back?
Well, like, it was really good, but he wasn't coming back for the A-grade side. He was going to slot straight into the resi. So the boys were a bit upset that he couldn't stay around long enough to play A-grade. But the resi side was more than happy to have him in. They couldn't believe that they had this club legend back.
There's been money. There's been money passed on the table.
This is liquid gold. Liquid gold.
You guys were on the phone before we recorded this, and I believe this.
What would you call him? I mean, he's like he's never going to be the most famous, you know, footballer, Andy, playing for Brothers. He's a bit like Nathan Jones from Melbourne Demons. He's a great player, but he's never going to be like. I mean, you look at Cameron Ling. Like Cameron Ling playing for Geelong.
Look similar.
Only because they won so many bloody games, he's become so famous. Poor Nathan Jones from the Demons. He'd probably have it all over him, but just with the team he's in, he'd never got the accolades.
This is the reason I became an individual player, Rosie. Personal glory is far more important than team success.
It was a bit hard in the back line, though, for personal glory.
He's got
playing unaccountable in the back line.
Unaccountable, absolutely.
Yeah. He does have that talent on his back.
Unaccountable backman, yeah.
Mate, and another little bit of research I found, is it also true that the bloke whose spot Matt took has actually left Rockhampton?
Are we talking about Jethro here? Or?
I'm not sure, but I heard that, you know, Matt obviously isn't a member of the team, you know, week to week, so he's actually come back in and taken someone else's spot. I've heard he's told you, get him out of the squad, and this bloke has now left Rockhampton because poor Matt, you know, big Matt Jones had to come back and steal his thunder.
Yeah, There's a few blokes actually, you know, that have been training all pre-season, all year, and then this bloke sort of just rocked up and did take a few spots, so probably did ruffle a few feathers, but yeah, we'll see who rocks up the train tonight or if they have actually left town.
Yeah, I've only known Matt for a short time, but that sounds pretty much exactly what I would expect from the old James.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't tell him, Rosie, I had about 46 kicks.
Make a spot for me, boys. That's what he said.
Hey, Matty. He came back talking about his possessions, and I'm not, you know, I'm more into rugby league than AFL. Were possessions on the field, or was it just the bulk Guzman Gomez burritos that he was eating?
Probably a bit of both. But we've got a guy taking stats, and they're not the most reliable stats. Some blokes, we sort of convert them over to Supercoach points, and if you're familiar with the way Supercoach points work, but anything around 100 is probably a pretty good score. I think Piggy, by this bloke's stats, he ended up on around 280 points for the game.
Yeah,
but it was just a game of kick tennis at some point. Like, Piggy was catching it from the back line and would kick it straight to the opposition, who then kick it back to him, and then he was racking the points up like that. He didn't take efficiency, I think, into account.
Like you said, I think it's more about that personal glory, racking those stats up.
That's why I've never played in a final, boys.
And just with the team he's played, do you usually play under 12s, or was that just for the weekend that Matt played it?
Well, we were from Bourne Island, who apparently had 33 blokes out with some flu, so they were a bit undermanned, underwhelmed, so that could have been a reason.
Were they out,
but
out with the flu?
They had a few A-graders playing resi, so.
Oh.
Were they out with the flu before they heard that the mystical pig was coming back, or?
I think Pig told me on Tuesday night, the word would have spread by Wednesday, and Tuesday it was okay. We were playing two full teams, and Thursday night, all of a sudden, we were we heard that they were really down on their numbers.
There you go.
So there could have been something there. I don't know. Or it could have been a legitimate flu that got through them all.
I will say I went past the umpire, Joey, and Joey's a regular listener out here in Longreach, and he just whispered to me, and he goes, Pigger, you got the 3 votes. And I just gave him a bit of a wink, and I said, my job here is done. As my teammates ran off around behind me, I didn't even slap him on the back. I just said, thanks, Joey. No
I think you're wondering whether you can win the league BNF playing.
All good, Rosie. Good stuff, mate.
And we'll wrap it up in a minute. Like, I think, we're trying to get as much bad detail, and you're pumping the bloke up. But,
I'll see how I go.
What size jersey was the big man wearing?
Oh, here we go.
He told me he used to play in a size 8 kids. But I just wondered, was it a double XL?
Well, see, the issue on the weekend was we had a lot of old boys come back and play, and a lot of them have put on a lot of conditioning in their time.
Yep.
So all the bigger jerseys were taken. So I think Pig had to try and squeeze. He just managed to squeeze into a 3XL.
He told me he used to have a jersey that was a Joey, and now when he puts it on, it looks like a massive kangaroo. So
here we go. Mate, honestly, the team that I was playing with, I fair dickum, I looked like John Cena. I looked like a bloody Adonis. Fair dickum, I was absolutely delicious when I looked at myself in the mirror.
I could argue, the blokes were all good players, but they need to they probably need to lose half their body weight almost, some of them, to get back to their old condition.
He was very worried about how he'd fit into the shorts, just quietly in the lead-up.
Yeah. I think he had 2 pairs, and he just put his leg through, straight through the middle, cut the fork out.
Cut the fork out.
Cut the fork out and wore 2 pairs to get out there.
Oh, look, Rosie, mate, we can't thank you enough for coming on. And you know, obviously the bloke is a legend, and we give him a lot of curry here. But, you know, to hear it from an outsider's perspective, it gives us a bit of a more view into the myth that is Matt Jones. So, Rosie, anytime you want to come on and share a few more stories about the great man, we'd more than appreciate that.
Yep, no worries. Yeah, more than happy to get on there. That's good, boys.
And mate. Well, we'll lodge our vote for best and fairest. He hasn't lodged any at the podcast because he doesn't really add too much value.
Yeah, good stuff. No, and Rosie's also a very talented coach, and he's doing a great job with a pretty average sort of side. So I reckon in about 3 or 4 years, when I come back, we'll be a powerhouse.
Yeah, cheers, Pig. That'll be good.
Thanks, mate.
Mate, thanks a lot. Cool. We'll talk to you soon, Rosie.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. Yeah, thanks, cool. Rosie.
Cheers, later. Bud.
Bye.
Can't touch this. Touch report.
Right, guys, we do have right now a touch footy review sent in by one of our keen listeners. Very big thanks to H. Now, this year, Longreach Touch has sort of taken off a little bit, and the addition of a new team was a sight for sore eyes. The Untouchables entered the team, the pool this year, and it was a name that probably wasn't very apt for the team that that entered. Scott, any comment on that?
Yeah, and H is right. And can I just say, his writing, his review is just immaculate. Whoever has taught H before and can attest to this, just he is just an amazing writer. I've played the full season with H, and yeah, we were called the Untouchables, but I believe there's probably more appropriate names because I think H goes into it.
You and him. What did you call it? The Uncatchables, with very poor ball handling skills.
Not mine. Mine were actually pretty good. It was more other members of the squad, apart from H and I. But the rest of the team, yeah, not so great. But we got better.
We got better. That's right. Look, he said the first game there were a few hospital balls and a few intercepts, which sort of didn't help very much, but heads high and moving on throughout the season. The second game, you're a little bit more confident and sort of moved up. He's hit me with a whole lot of stats here. We've got 54% rucking, you know, passing percentages, overall team scores, all sorts of things. But look, he's done a great job, and the team sort of got into training, and over the holidays, Parko got married, and the team sort of took a little bit of a break for the celebrations. They had a Spain, a siesta after the marriage, something like that. But yeah, the first day of training commenced, and there was nothing to train until an idea came to mind. And
now I want to come in here on social events. Is it appropriate to train for social sports?
Absolutely not.
No.
Team sports, you want a little bit of training, but if it's individual.
If there's no cash, no money, no massive trophy, no team participation awards, I don't train.
If you have a comical name like the Untouchables or, you know, some random sort of setup, then you are not a team. You are training for a real sport.
You want to pass the ball around a bit and get to know each other, but you don't want to be practicing your ruck-ups and your alley-oops and
that's
stuff.
That's ridiculous.
And upon reflection, I believe I was probably a poor team player in this particular environment. I didn't go to any trainings. I had, you know, I had puppies to look after. I had weddings to prepare for. And I do feel a bit guilty because the team kind of progressed and I was a bit of a Matt Jones individual on the field. And like I said, I'm a team player and I probably
You're pulling
didn't.
A face there, Matt. Does that not sound familiar?
I'm going to offend people here. I'm sorry to these people that love it. But touch football is a training drill. It is not a sport. It's a training drill for people that want to get better at rugby union and rugby league.
Or is it not a fitness activity?
Interestingly enough.
Yeah, much like going for a run in the park. Fair, these people that take it serious. Rucking? What the hell is rucking?
Okay, very good point, Matt. And we want to say, unfortunately, our guest for next week, the captain of the Australian girls touch team, has cancelled. But
who is that? You know, who is it? Probably someone that works.
Did H put any statistics about Parko's scores, try assists?
Look,
runs from dummy half.
Look, there's nothing much about your statistics specifically. He's managed to leave them out, but
I'll bring mine in. I've written them myself.
Oh, good. Good. He said, look, they picked up their first win against the Vets and went on to play some other games and move up on the ladder from there.
The Vets must
Can I clarify that? That sounds like a veteran team. It's actually
the Vets. Veterinarians.
They work with animals in town.
Yeah. Veterinarians, not veterans, okay? We should clarify that. But we do have one last note here. P.S., please ask Matt to stop talking about AFL. There you go.
Oh, you know what? It is great to have some young viewers listening in.
And get stuff, Harry.
And we appreciate it.
And I really hope, you know, he listens and he appreciates that. And can I just say, it's an absolute pleasure.
No, he's a good kid.
Taking the field with H on a weekly basis.
Good
basis.
Good family too.
Yeah, great family. So if you're listening, H, thank you for your report. We really appreciate it. And you know, if I go back down and get back involved in touch, I'd love to run out alongside you, my friend. So great job. And now we have kept you a while. And I think, believe Jack, you would like to take over this top three now.
Yeah, look,
weaseled your way in, and you want to lead it, so let's go, Jack.
I'm gonna. This is an important one to me. Music's a big part of my life. We talked about pump up music. Now, you might have your songs to pump you up for your games or sport or whatever. You know, Scott mowing the lawn on a Saturday afternoon. My question is, what songs do you play that get you out of bed on the right side of the bed? What are those songs you hear in the morning, either in the car on the way to work, or that you play on your iPod as you're getting ready? What are those songs that get you out of bed and get you pumped?
I'll go first. Listen, it's a great topic. I'm a little bit off of centre here, and there's a few songs that I play that try and reflect my personality. The first song that I play every morning before I get up, much to my wife's chagrin, is a song called Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble When You're Perfect in Every Way. Not sure who the singer is. It's a country number. I think it sort of reflects who I am.
Does she sing it to you?
She sings it to me.
Oh.
No, actually, well, I tend to sing it to her. Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble When You're Perfect in Every Way. There's a couple of great songs in there. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day is one of the great lines that come out of it. I trust you to have a listen to it. So she, you know, usually nods her head when she hears me sing it. The next one I often play is one of my favourite songs from Rod Stewart, Do You Think I'm Sexy? You know that song? If you really want me and you think I'm
okay,
sexy.
Okay, we've got copyright issues right here, mate.
And I often wind up, just as I'm leaving the door, I play a little bit of Billy Ray Cyrus's Achy Breaky Heart, just because I know I'll be doing a fair bit of that during the day. That's my three songs, boys. Parker, what do you reckon, mate?
Well, mate, I need a bit more motivation. So the first song I've got on my list is Come On Eileen. I just find it's something you can tap your foot to. So, you know, sometimes I'm not really a morning person, so I just need that song to kind of get me going. Come on, Eileen.
Yeah.
I just need that. Gets me in the mood to get out there and hit the man shake hard. And keeping on the theme of, you know, inspiring me, yeah, is the next one's Build Me Up Buttercup. You know, some of my friends from high school used to call me the old sunflower because I was very skinny with a massive head. So, you know, buttercup, yeah, you know, the yellow sunflower. So Build Me Up Buttercup, that kind of gets me ready to go. Now, to decide on three is like, you know, it's like picking your favourite sports player, picking your favourite type of ice cream when he's in town. Beautiful. I hope you guys have tried it. So I'm going to go my third is a country number. Matt, I'm sure you'll know this. Yeah. Called in Baton Rouge.
Oh, great song. Garth.
Garth
Brooks.
Who isn't on iTunes, but go out and buy the album because that's what it's all about when you support a musician. Yep. Called in Baton Rouge. Yep. Hard to leave out Ghostbusters because in the morning I just love to bust some ghosts.
James Blunt?
You know, I was going to add that. Matt has this.
This Muppet listens to James every Blunt. Every time. Blurts out of his car.
Now, hang on. I don't have the CD. Every time I go to see Matt, usually for exercise, which is probably twice a day, I seem to always, the song that's on the radio as I pull up is Bonfire Love.
Yeah, Bonfire Heart.
And if you can listen to that Bonfire Heart three times without singing along, I would like to see it.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't think James wants that bad, mate. I think by comparison, you've got, you know,
and says Bieber, a lot about,
I like,
you know,
I like James Bond.
He's not that bad.
And
if you've ever checked out his Twitter, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
definitely do that.
Yeah,
I don't know about you guys, but I actually call him the songbird of our generation.
Let's get him on.
Harry, your top three.
Yeah, top three. Hop Tootie, Meatloaf, a bit of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I love Rocky Horror.
Great to sing to in the shower.
Can you give us a few bars?
Hop Tootie, bless my soul. I really love that rock and roll.
You asked a few bars, mate.
Okay, great.
A few too many. Secondly, Shia LaBeouf Live. If you haven't heard it, it just makes you laugh every time you hear it. You know how crazy Shia LaBeouf is? It's about him being a murderer, so...
Is it a song?
It's a song.
By himself?
No, by a guy, but he's in the...
So, done your research again, Aaron. Well done.
Rob Cantor is his name. You got to watch the film clip if you watch it. It's a good laugh. And finally, 1955 by the Hilltop Hoods. It's just uplifting and upbeat.
Now, I'm going to call you on a song here. I've heard you sing another song from Rocky Horror Picture Show on many occasions.
Sweet Transvestite?
Not that far.
That's what Harry sings, you know, before he gets ready.
Only when I'm alone, that one.
I did notice the fishnets he was wearing to the studio today. What's the other song, Harry? I don't know what it's called. Touch.
I
and
think
can
it's
you
called.
give us just a
no,
just
that's,
one
that's,
small
that's
bar.
Only in private.
Oh.
I wanna feel
maybe next week.
Oh no, that song.
Oh, perfect, Jack. Finish us off.
Look, I'm gonna hit you up with some Stevie Wonder, Side Seal Delivered. When I get out of bed in the morning, that's, you know, that's got that good beat, you know.
Yep.
That's good. I like Hey Ya by Outkast. That's got a little bit of a
presenting yourself to the world.
You know, a little bit of a groove on when I'm wandering around the house in the buff. And Centerfold by the Jay Gelis Band. You know, nah. You know, that's another good one. So that's how I tend to get out of bed on the right side of the bed. So there you go, top three for today.
Good options. And we just like to say a massive thank you to those people who are listening in, Matt.
Oh, look, I've got one last thing. And I want to make an announcement. I want to make it here right now that I've set out a challenge as of today. Next week, maybe 2 weeks, is the Longreach State School Athletics Carnival. That's a really great thing. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in a challenge that has been set. Parco versus the pig, as in me. A decathlon, discus, shot put, 100 meter sprint, high jump, long jump, which doesn't make decathlon, it makes it five. You versus me. Who is the greatest athlete at Longreach State School?
Matt, have you asked Scott if he can run 100 metres?
I want to know if you accept the challenge, and I want to know if you would like to accept a bet of $50 to the winner.
Ooh. I don't know if cool. you want to give away $50.
And I want
Scott.
The whole town to be there as I beat you in the 100 metre sprint.
Is this going to happen during the school athletics carnival?
We'll pick certain times.
Okay.
With the showcase being the last event of the day, 100 metres down the straight. Huge crowd, which I'm used to. You're probably not. Do you accept the challenge or not?
Mate, I'm not going to back away from a challenge.
Excellent. Ooh. Done. Done.
I like it.
I've got many participation medals from athletics carnivals.
Oh, I reckon we might. And next week, like during the week, we might do maybe high jump and long jump over the course of this week.
Yes. And I've never done high jump before in my life, so
I can do about 2 metres.
You can just step over it, mate. You'll be right.
That's it.
And I'd like to update everyone on the podcast about who wins.
Okay.
On that bombshell.
Well, I don't know what to say. I feel like I've been under the pump. What can I say? Oh, I've got to say yes. Yes, I'm in. No done. Problem. All right. Well, we'll update you on that. I've got to go because I'm going to start doing some training and some stretching. And, well, once again, thanks for listening. We really appreciate your support. Make sure you get out and rate us and comment us. Not us individually, but us as a podcast. That would really help us out and help us catch those two Muppets in Sydney or Melbourne in Hamish and Andy. Jack, Harry, Matt, thanks for joining us today. Hopefully we've made you a few more, made you a bit more into experts of sport. Thanks for coming along on the ride. Catch us next time.